All right, let's take our Bibles. And to Curtis and Craig and Ed and Doug and whoever else is brave enough to stand up to preach, it gets easier all the time. And that's a joke. But I want to read to you out of 1 John chapter 5. And since there's just 21 verses, let's read the chapter. The subject this morning is faith. The faith of God's elect. First John chapter 5, verse 1. Here's an amazing statement. I want you to see it in your own Bible. Whosoever, no matter who it is, when it is, or where it is, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, what common denominator is there between all these people from all over the world, from every generation? Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now that's a spiritual birth. It's what the Bible calls being born again. It also uses the word regeneration. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Absolute, no exceptions. To be born again is to believe and trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to have the life of God in the soul. And everyone that loves him that begat, that is, loves the God who birthed us into Christ, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Here's what that means. Believers love each other. It's family. You have to. You must. You do. Grace enables it. Brings it to pass. By this you shall know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep, lost my place, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's pronounced correctly now, grievous. But look what it says about the Lord's children. They keep God's commandments. And yet we both know that we broke every one of the Ten Commandments. Not one time, but gazillions of times. We did before we were converted, and we have after we've been converted. This is not just talking about outwardly, but inwardly. It's not just talking about the hand or the eyes. It's talking about the mind. So how is this to be reconciled? And here it is. You remember, we're not turning there now. I'll never finish this reading. Matthew 25, when our Lord is speaking about two classes of persons, the only two that divides the whole human race, sheep and goats, saved and lost, children of God and children of the devil. That's the only two divisions there are in this whole world. And he begins to speak about his sheep, that they did all these things for Christ. They visited him in prison. They gave him food when he was hungry and, you know, water when he's thirsty, and on and on and on. And they said, when did we do these things? We don't remember it. Obeying God's commandment is the natural result of being born again. It ain't something you pin up on the wall and you say, now, on Monday I'm going to work on this one, and Tuesday I'm going to work on this one. That's pure free will religion is all that is, and it's dead as a doornail. There's no life in it. All it does is fill people with pride. So read these statements carefully, and you will see the wonder and glory of God's grace. Verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? Here they are, real simple. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And if one overcomes, they all overcome. Because Christ is our overcomer, and we overcome by virtue of being in him. That puts all believers on a perfect level. Verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, what is that record? This book. This book. And here's what the record says. Verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And it ain't no place else. It's in his Son. In the precious Lord Jesus. Verse 12, he that has the Son has life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Whoever by the grace of God and the Spirit of God has laid a hold Christ with saving faith has life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now that's called cut and dried. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now that doesn't mean that because you believe God will give you $1 million, you believe Him and then you can go ahead and start collecting it. That's just stupidity. Reveals what we are and where our wants are. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall, and the Lord shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And I have no idea and I can't explain that to you. Verse 17. And all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God. Now this one will also surprise you, no matter how many times you've read it. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. The only way that can be true is because we are joined and united by saving faith to the gloriously, sinlessly perfect Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him we have no sin. None. In ourselves, we're still full of sin. Now, if you want a detailed explanation, try Romans chapter 7, about verse 12 to verse 25, and you'll find it clearly explained. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, Christ, who is the truth, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And if you have trouble with that, beg the Savior to do it for you. All right, if you'll mark your place at 1 John chapter 5, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10, just one verse out of Romans 10. The faith that saves the soul, the faith that is common to all of God's elect, they're the only people with this faith. Romans chapter 10. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. We bless you. Thank you for your mercy to let a poor sinner sing a song so honoring and exalting to the blessed Savior. How privileged we are. Lord, we come this day in this place to lift up, to exalt, to magnify, to praise, to worship, to sing of, and to preach of our blessed Redeemer, your precious Son, this one who is the Christ, the Messiah, the only hope for sinners. Lord, enable us as we continue this hour to speak those words that you would have spoken, those words that you intend to bless to our souls. How desperately we need your presence in our midst, and upon your word as we read and speak of it. Lord, without your presence, nothing of any lasting purpose and good takes place. We beg you, we plead with you, through the very one who intercedes for us, none other than our Savior. Lord, grant us your presence. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, the first statement about faith is found in Romans chapter 10. How do we come to have this faith, if indeed we do have it? We either do or we don't. If you look at verse 17 in Romans chapter 10, without trying to deal with what's in front of this or after it, I take just this simple statement, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this book is a message pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts at Genesis 1:1 and ends somewhere about Revelation 22, and I don't remember the final verse. But this book is all about Christ and his purpose for coming, his purpose for dying, his purpose in being raised from the dead, all has to do with this matter of giving to those that God gave to him in old eternity for him to redeem, to be their surety, to stand for them in the covenant of grace, that they may come to this place. Faith comes by hearing. Now that doesn't mean that you can't, that faith doesn't come by reading, for there is a certain sense in which the eyes can hear by what they read. So we're not trying to make some artificial distinction, but I'm telling you it has to do with hearing. The gospel must be heard. No salvation apart from it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. We can't just preach anything. We must preach what's in this book concerning the Lord Jesus and concerning ourselves. And there are hundreds and hundreds of examples and illustrations. The four Gospels are full. The book of Acts is full. For that matter, all the books of Scripture furnish us with plenty of work, plenty of room for us to look at this subject today. of our blessed Savior and Him crucified. One more time. So then, the word so has reference to what has just been said. So if you look through all the verses that lead up to verse 17 in Romans chapter 10, and then if you'll go further than that and think of all the chapters and verses in the book of Romans that has preceded that, and even that's not the end of the line, you can go further than that. So then, faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by trying. It comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. This Word is the written Word. And this Word speaks of the living Word, which is Christ Himself. You cannot divorce the Bible from the Son of God. It is about Him. He is the primary subject of this book in all places in our Bibles. Faith comes by hearing. All right, let's now go to 1 John chapter 5, where we took our reading earlier. Just want to work on just a very few verses here in 1 John chapter 5. Let's start at verse 9. 1 John 5, 9. If we receive the witness of men, and we do in a thousand different ways, the witness of God is greater, infinitely greater. For this is the witness of God which He testifies concerning His Son. Here it is. Here's the summation of God's witness of Christ from the beginning of time to the end of time. This is so simple, there's not a soul in here that doesn't understand the meaning of these words. The Bible's not hard to understand because it's difficult. It's hard to understand because it's so. Because it's telling us the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness, that is the witness of the Holy Spirit in himself, who is also called the Spirit of Christ, whom the Savior promised in John chapter 16. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made God a liar, simply because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Now let's make sure we didn't miss it. Verse 11. And this is the record, this is the divine record. This is the testimony and witness of God. This is what God in His Word has said concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. That's the only eternal life there is in Christ. Now, there's also something called eternal death. You understand that, I'm sure. Verse 12. He that has the Son. How do you have Christ? By believing and trusting and receiving Him. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. He can have everything else, but not this. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It is God's purpose for his children to know that they are believers, that they have an interest, a saving interest in the Savior's blood, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, which they've already in that category, but they continue to do so. All right, one more passage. You want to know where it is? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Some of you are saying, oh no, he's going through all this catalog of believers out of the Old Testament. Somebody called this chapter the Book of God's Martyrs. There's a bunch of them in here. Only verses 1, 2, and 3. These three verses define for us what faith is. Verses 4 through however many there are in this chapter give us examples of people who possessed this faith. I mean from the beginning, you know, right on up till New Testament times. Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another definition now for faith. Now faith is the substance. My margin renders that word substantiating. You can have either one you want. Now faith is the substance, the essence, the being of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith must look through eyes other than our natural eyes. It must be the eyes of the soul, the eyes of the heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when faith becomes sight, you no longer need faith. You don't need faith to believe that you're sitting there about half asleep on a church pew on a Sunday morning. I'm only kidding. But you understand what I mean? There's no purpose for faith when that's the case. The evidence of things not seen. For by it, verse 2, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. All you do is go to verse 4 and just take off through the remaining part of this chapter and you'll run into character after character, some of which may surprise you. All right, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. When this world was created, there was nothing from which to create it. God simply spoke it into being. It says here, the worlds were framed by the word of God. That is, by God speaking the whole universe into existence. Now, the general understanding of faith is that it's something that the sinner has to come up with in order to do business with Christ. Preachers have been lying since longer than I've been alive. In the South, in the United States of America, particularly the state of North Carolina, though I don't think it's any worse than any other, but preachers have told us, if you'll believe, God will save you. My soul, this we just read in 1 John 5:1, if you're not born again, you don't even have faith. You cannot have it. And if you're born again, you must have it. So why all the mix-up? Because people hate the doctrine of the gospel of salvation as revealed in this book. I do, you do, and everybody does until God saves us by His grace. And then we love a Savior that beforehand we despised. Now don't get me wrong. We all had a Savior and His name was Jesus. He just ain't the Jesus of the Bible. No, He's one that's trying, hoping, wanting, and you won't let Him or help Him. And that's an absolute lie. And if you don't despise it, you deny the truth of the gospel of God. And so do I. If we tip our hat to that other gospel, you can tip your hat goodbye to this one because we've left it. Now you think that's hard. That's just reality. Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore I esteem all your precepts, all of them now, concerning all things to be right. And if that's true, and I hate every false way, if you don't hate the false gospel, you don't love the souls of men, not even your own. Something's bad, wrong. We've missed Christ somewhere. So I want to talk to you just a minute or two about this concept of faith that's not really faith at all. It's just a man saving himself. Saving himself. I want to read and comment while I read on a statement made by Brother Hawker in his Poor Man's Commentary on Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 through 3. This gospel, he says, this Christ, is to me substance. Remember that in our reading just a second ago in verse 1? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 21, we have these words. I will cause them that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Speaking of Christ Jesus, whom, having not seen, we love. Have you ever seen Christ? No. Oh, I saw a picture of him. There ain't no pictures of him. That's somebody's idol. You ought to leave that alone. You made me lose my place. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end, the result of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. These people's faith in apostolic days needed not the presence of what they believed in. In other words, at this point, when Hebrews is written, when 1 Peter is written, when 1 John is written, Christ walks this earth no more. He's been raised, ascended, and seated on a throne in eternal glory. So these people, these believers that are described in these words, did not need the physical presence of Christ. And neither do we. It's worshiping Him the only way God can be worshiped, according to John chapter 4, when Christ talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. And that is in spirit and in truth. That is spiritual worship and true worship, which means only praising our Lord Jesus Christ. God's testimony for these New Testament believers was enough. The testimony of the words of this book, that's sufficient. That's sufficient. And that's all we got from here on out. There's not going to be any more scripture. All right. One word more concerning faith. Faith is the gift of God. Edward said that in his Bible lesson this morning. Faith is the gift of God. Now, if it's God's gift, it cannot be something that I come up with on my own and get credit for. You know, win points and travel miles and whatever else there is. Faith is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Christ is also the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So there's all kinds of statements in our Bibles having to do with faith and Christ. And it is His doing and not ours. When God gives us faith, when He truly imparts faith to our souls, we do not all have the same degree of faith. Well, how much do we have? Whatever God is pleased to convey to you or to me. And the person with the weakest faith, and the person, now listen carefully, with the strongest faith, who never speak of themselves as having strong faith, but the weakest and the strongest have an equal participation and receiving from Christ Jesus the Lord. The weak faith is just as saved as the strong faith. And God determines what it is. He gives us whatever degree of faith we have. Therefore, it must follow that what is God's gift cannot be man's merit. Hence, it must follow that the glory of faith in the exercise of His people is entirely of the Lord. We don't take our faith out and look at it and say, my, that looks so good. Think I'll worship my faith today. No, if you can do that, you don't have the kind this Bible's talking about. Saving faith has one single solitary object. That is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Messiah. He doesn't share that spot with anyone. It belongs exclusively to Him. It may appear strange to some, Mr. Hawker says, when I say that I consider faith. Now you got to listen carefully here. You're going to miss this. If you got this poor man's commentary, look it up this afternoon and or this evening. I consider faith as the act of Christ upon my soul, more than my act of dependence upon Him. And he can back it up with Scripture too. You watch this. In fact, let's just let that be our last. I got 3 minutes. I got 30 minutes to go on my calendar. Galatians chapter 2. And verse 20, let me remind you of what that says. He's fixing to speak to us from this verse to help us to identify what this faith is that saves the soul. Galatians 2:20, these famous words of the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. I've been put to death when Christ was put to death. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not really me that lives. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here it is. I live, how? By the faith, not of me or you, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It ain't so much faith in Christ. It has to be first and foremost the faith of Christ. Now let me read how he sets this up and speaks of it. Mark the expression. Not Paul's life of faith in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God. And there are like five places, I know there are four, and I want to say five in the New Testament, that makes this distinction of the faith of Christ. Faith of Christ. It is not Paul's act upon Christ, but Christ's act upon him. And how is this proved? The life of faith, like any other life, is a life of receivings, not givings. Similar to physical life, or animal life as he calls it, which is entirely kept up and preserved by receiving food and water and air and strength and whatever else it takes to keep this physical person of ours alive. This stuff does not come from us, it comes into us. And that's how it is in this matter of faith. All right, watch this now. These things are received to live upon. They are incomings, not outgoings. The incomings are first received as the cause. The outgoings are exercised as the effect. Now, if we can get that straight in our minds, we understand this. Our faith does not cause God to save us. God gives us faith because He is saving us. Reader, if these things are so, how does it reduce and bring low the pride of all our attainments? How forcible comes home the words of the apostle, for who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Amen.